The absence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Braja, Goloka Vrindavan, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees, who are deeply attached to his devotional service. Since the mind may be one's enemy or one's friend, one has to train the mind to become his friend. This Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for training the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions, not only of this life, but also of many, many lives of the past. These impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. In this way, the mind's function can become dangerous for a conditioned soul. Students of psychology are aware of the mind's various psychological changes. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Yam yam vāpi smaran bhāvam cityacchan te kaleharam tam tam evai sikon teya sadatat bhāva bhāvatara. Whatever state of mind one remembers when he quits this body, that state he will attain without fail. At the time of death, the mind and intelligence of a living entity create a subtle form of a certain type of body for the next life. If the mind suddenly thinks of something not very congenial, one has to take a corresponding birth in the next life. On the other hand, if one can think of Krishna at the time of death, he can be transformed to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. The process of transmigration is very subtle. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami advises devotees to train their minds in order that they will be unable to remember anything other than Krishna. Similarly, the tongue should be trained to speak only of Krishna and taste only Krishna prasad. Srila Rupa Goswami further advises, Tishtan Braje, one should live in Vrindavan or any part of Brajbhumi. Brajbhumi is the land of Vrindavan. It's supposed to be 84 kroshas in area. One krosha equals 2 square miles. When one makes Vrindavan his residence, he should take shelter of an advanced devotee there. In this way, one should always think of Krishna and his pastimes. This is further elucidated by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I'm going to end the proportion here because we are very late. A devotee should always reside in the transcendental realm of Braja and always engaged in Krishnam Smaranam Janma Chastya Vaishtam, the remembrance of Sri Krishna and his beloved associates. By following in the footsteps of such associates and by entering under their eternal guidance, one can acquire an intense desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, Srila Rupa Goswami states, Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Seva Sadaka Rupena Siddha Rupena Chastahasi Tadbhava Lipsuna Karaya Braja Loka Sisarata. In the transcendental realm of Braja, one should serve the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, with a feeling similar to that of his associate. And one should place himself under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna and should follow in his footsteps. This method is applicable both in the stage of sadhana, spiritual practices executed while in the state of bondage, and in the stage of sadhya, God realization. When one is a siddha purusha, or a spiritually perfect soul. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented as follows upon this verse. One who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regulative principle, namely chanting and remembering Krishna and his name, form, quality, pastimes, and so forth. In this way, after developing a taste for such things, one should try to live in Vrindavan and pass his time constantly remembering Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, and qualities under the direction and protection of an expert devotee. This is the sum and substance of all instruction regarding the cultivation of devotional service. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravanam Dasa, the stage of hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, one can attain the stage of acceptance called Varana Dasa. When one attains this stage, he becomes attached to hearing of Krishna Katha. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smaranavasta, the stage of remembering. Recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the five items of progressive Krishna Smarana. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interpreted at intervals, but later remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated and is called meditation. When meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of samadhi, or spiritual trance. After smaranadasa, or samadhi, has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. That is called Sampatti Dasa, the perfection of life. Chaitanya Charitamrita advises those who are neophytes to give up all kinds of motivated desires and simply engage in the regulative devotional service of the Lord according to the directions of the scriptures. In this way, a neophyte can gradually develop attachment for Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities, and so forth. When one has developed such attachment, he can spontaneously serve the lotus feet of Krishna, even without following the regulative principles. This stage is called Raga Bhakti, or devotional service in spontaneous love. At that stage, the devotee can follow in the footsteps of one of the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. This is called Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service, can be executed in the Shantaras when one aspires to be like Krishna's cow, or the stick or flute in the hand of Krishna, or the flowers around Krishna's neck. In the Dasyara, one follows in the footsteps of servants like Chitraka, Pastaka, and Rakshaka. In the friendly Sakyara, one can become a friend like Baladev, Sridhama, and Sudama. In the Vatsalyara, characterized by parental affection, one can become like Nanda, Maharaj, and Yashoda. And in the Madhurya Ras, characterized by conjugal love, one can be like Srimati Radharani, or her lady friend, such as Lalita, and her serving maids, Manjari, like Rupa and Rati. This is the essence of all instructions in the matter of devotional service. Om Jnanti Randasya Jnanjana Salataya Yakshuru Nidhikamdina Atmai Shri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Shafitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Tadamayam Tadachitra Parantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri-yutāvaramam, Shri-gurum vaiṣṇavāṃśa, Shri-yuvāṁ, Sāgya-tāraṁ, 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 Krishna-caitāṁ, Jadevāṁ, Shri-yutāraṁ, Krishna-pāraṁ,
Bhagavata Charya asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
of the ninefold is the devotional service, which is the most important. The Lord instantly responded, the chanting of the holy name. And as Srila Jayaprakash Swami Maharaj, His Holiness, taught us yesterday, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed to the sannyasis in Varanasi that this was the order he was given by His Guru Maharaj. Harinama, 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 Vasevaram, Kalavanasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Sakhachira. And in this age of Kali, there is no other way except the chanting of the holy name. Many of us have been chanting these names for a few years, some of us a few decades. Why is it that we are not experiencing what Rupa Goswami tells us he experiences? I do not know how much nectar the name of Krishna produces. When the name of Krishna appears on my tongue, I wish to have many, many, many tongues. When it enters my ears, I desire millions and millions of ears, and when it enters the heart, it conquers my consciousness completely. How many of us desire millions of tongues when we're chanting? Millions of years. Some of us are struggling to stay awake. Are wondering when we're going to get through the tedious act of pulling down all 16 counting teeth. It is the way we chant that is so important. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Yega tamam prabhadyante tam tadaiva bhajamya. That as we approach Him, Krishna reciprocates and manifests Himself accordingly. Kali kele. Kali kele namaru. Krishna avatar. Kali kale namarupe Krishna avatar. In this age of Kali, Krishna is incarnate within His name. As we chant the holy name, how Krishna will respond. And there are so many stories that teach us. From our heart, with deep feeling, we must take shelter of the holy name. It's like a little baby bird that is hungry, waiting for his mother, the mother bird to feed him. Absolutely helpless. Where can the baby bird go? Up in, high, high in the tree. Doesn't know how to fly. Trapped in this little nest. Can't do anything, go anywhere. It takes a single step out of the nest and falls and dies. Absolutely dependent on the mother to come to nourish it. And when the mother is late for 2 hours and 3 hours and 4 hours and 5 hours and a whole day, the way that bird is chirping for its mother is how we should chant the holy name. There is the example of Draupadi. If we would analyze this story carefully, it is quite profound. Draupadi was in a stronger position than any one of us. How many of you ladies are married to Arjuna? Lust.
Lust.
You just be and not put up in Sahate. Would you feel safe with husbands like that? The greatest warrior on earth, the most powerful person on earth, Nina and Arjuna. Draupadi had the greatest of all protection. But the nature of the world, padam padam yati pade, vipadam natesham. There is danger at every step, for everyone. No one is exempt. Whether we're the wealthiest man in the world, the prime minister, the greatest athlete, the greatest warrior, at any moment, everything can be finished. It's the nature of the world. No one is exempt. Becoming a devotee doesn't mean that our material life will be very smooth. Because the nature of this world is it's not very smooth. And if it is, if it's a smooth road, there's construction ahead. See those diamond-shaped warning signs and construction ahead. Forgive the inconvenience. Well, Maya has her eyes everywhere, in every step. It's not going to be smooth for long. Even Draupadi, when she was being stripped naked, a fate worse than death, to destroy her integrity and her dignity forever, there was no one to protect her. And the amazing thing about this story is Bhima was sitting just a few feet away from her with his club. And Arjuna with his Gandiva bow was right there in the same room. And Bhishma, her grandfather-in-law, he was also there. They all wanted to help. But due to circumstances, he couldn't. Dushasana, the mighty brother of Duryodhana, was ordered to rip her naked. When he grabbed her thigh, she looked at Yudhisthira. He looked down. I can't help you. But then Arjuna, you're my husband. You love me more than anyone. She looked down. And she looked toward Bhima, who was really attached to Draupadi. There are many stories in Mahabharata. He looked down. There was no one to turn to except Krishna. In that state of absolute desperation, with 100% of her consciousness fixed on Krishna alone, then she raised her arms. And she didn't just go, Hare Krishna. She raised her arm. First she tried to hold on to the side with her own hands, because nobody else would help her. But her own strength failed. Then she let go. Raised her arm in a spirit of complete surrender. And she cried out helplessly the holy name. Krishna appeared. at the end. Krishna reciprocated. Krishna can do anything at any time, in any way. He incarnated as a sari. Dushasana is very sorry. He told, but Krishna is unlimited, so the sari became unlimited. Show what he was saying. In Mahabharata, that's my story. When Durvas Muni was sent by Duryodhana, said, "Oh, you want prasad? Go to Yudhisthira, if you think I'm Nirvana. He has nice prasad, but go right at this time." And she had that pot. That pot that was magical. It could feed as many people as would come until she ate. Then it became an ordinary pot. So Duryodhana sent Durvas Muni with 60,000 disciples. And sadhus eat a lot. When I first went to India in 1970, I was living with sadhus for some time. I remember they invited me for a feast in the Himalayas. And I was thinking, sadhu feet, yogi feet, we'll probably get some water or something. Some herb. They were serving out puris and halibut. I was 19 years old, they were 60, 70, 80. They were eating posh. They don't get it very much. You should be there eating herbs. So when they get a utsav, a feast, you know, so they're really eating. And I turned to somebody, and afterward I said to one lady, I said, "How sad. Eat like that?" She said, "They always eat like that. You give them a chance." So Durvas Muni and 60,000 sadhus come to the house. "We have come for prasad." And Durvas Muni is very famous for becoming angry. And when he gets angry, he is very empowered. For Ambarish, he became angry just because Ambarish drank a spoonful of water before he sat down. And he made a fiery monster that had the power to destroy the universe. And he came to Ambarish. Many stories of him. He's an alpha of Lord Shiva, the destroyer. So what's his name? Draupadi already ate. So they said, "Well, why don't you go take a bath?" So he said, "Yes, I will take a bath in Yamuna. But all is well." You were beside me. "Well, what to do? If he comes back, we have nothing. What can we prepare in a half hour?" They were in their heart of hearts, they were crying out for Krishna to save them. Draupadi was crying to Krishna to save them. And Krishna came. And Krishna makes everything acceptable. He comes, but not to save them. To eat for God. He says, "I'm really hungry, give me some for God." So, but he was thinking, "First I'm offending the last morning and all of his followers, and now I have nothing to give Krishna." She was crying, she was weeping, she was trembling. But she said, "Just bring me the pot." But how was she crying? She was crying for Krishna to protect her. She wasn't just Hare Krishna. She's taking shelter. Krishna said, "All right, give me the pot." And he found one little morsel of a dried piece of something on the ground. And he ate it. And then he told Bhima, now you go get your Vasmudi and all it. But bring your club with you. You will listen. You see that one? Just go. Just have faith and go. So Bhima comes to his club and says, Prasad is ready. Nothing there. Not even a shred of stuff he was left. Krishna took that away. Krishna said, you trust me. Just go and tell him Prasad is ready. So Bhima comes and says, Prasad is ready. And right when he said that, to Vasumuri and all of his followers, they all became stuffed up with Prasad. Because Krishna ate that morsel. They're all parts and parcels of Krishna. So they said to Bhima, we'll be just one minute. You go home, we'll be there one minute. Because he had a club. If we go there after Draupadi cooks this huge feast and we don't eat anything, Bhima's going to kill us. Well, as soon as Bhima ran over, it turned it back, they all ran over. But the mystic powers, they ran over. And we have the story of Gajendra. How powerful was he? He was the unrivaled king of the Jambal. He's an elephant. When he would stride through the jungle path, even the lions and the tigers and the leopards, they would scamper like little pussycats away from Gajendra. He was all powerful. And he had a wonderful family. He was ruling over it. No obstacles. But the nature of this material world is it's not safe for anyone. And somehow or other, to enjoy, he ran into a small lake of water. And was bit by a crocodile, who just held right onto his leg with his teeth. You people from the Rachel, I think you have alligators. Be careful of where you're going. Those teeth sunk right into his foot. Now, if that crocodile came to attack the Gajendra on the land, he would have just stomped the poor creature. But in the water, he was in a compromised position. In the water, the crocodile was king. He somehow or other, without knowing it, entered into a realm where he wasn't strong. And it is fact, however advanced we are in Krishna consciousness, if we're not very, very careful, if we take lightly the warnings of the great Acharya and step into a compromised position, we can be defeated. And our devotional service can be destroyed. And we have seen it happen so many times in the scriptures and in the contemporary world. Even if we're very, very strong and powerful spiritually, if we just play with Maya, if we try to enjoy in a realm outside of bhakti, the crocodile will get up. Just a matter of time. So Gajendra would pull at the crocodile, and the crocodile would pull at him, and he would pull, and they would pull. All of his strength could not protect him. And he turned to his family members. And they were standing on the bank of the lake, crying, unable to do anything for him. Prabhupada calls the government, family members, everyone, fallible soldiers. When we need them the most, they can't help us. What is the time of greatest need? It's the time of death. Who can help us then? Only one person. Yes, Gajendra, he fought and he fought and he fought for a long time. But when he was actually on the verge of death, then he was in that state, he remembered his previous life. Previously, he had no recollection of the previous life, but at the last moment, when he was absolutely desperate, he remembered his previous life devotional progress turned out to remind him there's only one shelter, the Lord. And this is about, he just took a little lotus flower, and like Draupadi, he held it. He doesn't have two arms. He held up that lotus flower, and through his prayers, he helplessly, desperately, humbly cried out the holy name. Because of these blasphemers, we're not allowed to do it. the blasphemers would hear them and say, "He's one of them!" And they'd attack the devoted Christians, the innocent people. So one morning, after the kirtan, a whole crowd of the townspeople came to give the Lord Chaitanya garam and flowers and rice and bananas and so many other things. And he was pleased because he saw the universe here. Rupa Goswami explains the price to receive Krishna's mercy is loha, greed, that deep desire to have it. They were longing for the Lord's mercy. For many days, to the Lord, he reciprocated all brothers and sisters. Constantly chant the holy name. He gave them the Maha Mantra to chant. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
No hard and fast rules in this chant. If you have kartals or madanga, you play them. If not, you clap your hands with your family in your shop while you're walking down the road. Just constantly chant the holy name to Krishna. Whether you're sitting, or whether you're laying down trying to sleep, or whether you're eating, or whether you're working, just constantly fill your mouth with the holy name. And you will be my life and soul. Oh. Tens and thousands of people started chanting. Every shop practically with people chanting. People walking down the streets chanting. In the homes, they were clapping their hands and doing kirtan together. Everyone was chanting, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, he still did not do kirtan with them. They never saw it. But he would walk down the streets, and he would see anybody who was chanting, and he would bow. He would offer his obeisances to the chanter. He would put a garland in it and around the neck of the chanter. He would embrace those who were chanting. He would anoint their limbs with sandalwood. And he would say, "You are my life and soul." That's how much the Lord appreciated those who were chanting his holy name. But the Lord wanted them to chant really sincerely, as a supreme controller, and allowed the coming event to take place. Should we end here, or should we teach it?
I
have to end real soon. Chani Kazi, he was the dictator of that area, the Nadia district, and he hated Hindu, and he outlawed any public practice of the Hindu religion. He outlawed it. Nobody dared defy him in years and years and years. And one day he's walking down the street, and everywhere he goes, there's people chanting. He was outraged. He was screaming at them. He was defying his authority. He was crushing his ego. Intolerable. He had hundreds of soldiers every day, full-time service, just searching for anyone chanting. They would beat them, torture them, plunder all of their wealth, sometimes imprison them. It was horrible. That's what was going on. And one day, Chantati himself picked up Madonna and crashed it to the ground. But the townspeople came back to Nimai, and they said, "We're getting beaten, we're getting tortured. We're afraid to chant." And he said, "No, you go on chanting, Krishna will protect you." They were in a helpless state. Do you know how they were chanting? Were all these soldiers looking for them? And the Chantaji looking for them? They could be killed, they could be tortured. Women could be raped. All of their property that they worked so hard could be plundered. I ask you, under those conditions, how many of you would continue chanting Hare Krishna? scratches on your back. It's a small price. It was not easy. But they did it. They kept chanting because it was the Lord's will. Risking everything. They weren't just very good friends. They may have been. But because of Kazi, they couldn't just go Hare Krishna. It was like the Vasa Muni for Draupadi. It was like the crocodile for Gajendra. It was like the mother bird and her calling out. Those people, from the core of their heart, they needed Krishna. If you're not hungry, you can't really digest food very well. Yes, that is an Ayurvedic principle. Because if you really have hunger, you have the power of digestion. If your favorite preparation is gulab jamun. Now right now, because it's kind of late in the morning, your favorite preparation was gulab jamun. Oh, how you eat gulab jamun. You eat gulab jamun. But if you just overeat very substantially at the Govardhan Puja festival, and then 15 minutes later somebody comes with a bucket of gulab jamun, what will you do? So in order to enjoy food, in order to digest food, you need hunger. That is a principle. In order to really digest the holy name, in order for the holy name to really penetrate our heart and transform our soul, we lose that lobha, that greed, that hunger. That means we have to feel a sense of need. When Kunti prayed, Jaimaishwarya Shruti Shriya Edamani Vadasuma, Naiva Hati Vadasumai from a Vinja Negotia. She was a hungry lady, spiritually. Always in danger. She prayed that the qualifications that people consider opulences in this world are the greatest disqualifications to call out your holy name. To have physical beauty, to have wealth, to have strength, to have fame, good family. Everyone wants these things. But the tendency is, if you have them, you may work like a dog to get it. But the tendency is you become complacent spiritually. You don't cry out the name of Jesus. From a fusion of all things. Therefore, the best thing is to be totally impoverished. But she's not talking about impoverished of not having anything. She's talking about in the heart. Feeling nothing is mine, I need Krishna. We see some of the wealthiest, greatest kings crying out for Krishna's name with total feeling. Because they understood nothing is mine, I need Krishna. But that is dependence. So yes, these people in Navadvip, they were crying out Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy when they chanted the holy name. And still, even after they were doing that, the persecution continued. Now a person of weak faith would say, why isn't Krishna saving me yet? But a person who understands the truth knows, if we just remember Krishna with our heart, in life or death, he will fail. They were chanting. But still, they were being persecuted. It was escalating. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called. Nityananda, go and tell all the devotees and all the townspeople to come here. Today, I will personally lead the Nam Sankirtan party. Today, I will dance. The first public kirtan in history. So today, I will go to the Kazi's house, loudly chanting the holy name. And I will break that palace down. I will burn that house. And let us see what he does to me. Today I'm going to bring a great rainstorm of Nam Sankirtan and inundate the entire Navadvipa with ecstatic love of God. Everyone come here this afternoon with a torch in your hand. Now, they're all going to chant right in the street in a procession to the Kazi's house. Just surrounded by soldiers. This is the price of clean merchandise. You have to take these with that faith. And maybe get beat up sometimes. But it's good for us. And he danced. He danced so beautiful through the streets of Navadvipa. And ultimately even the Kazi surrendered. Because the people of Navadvipa from their hearts, in a feeling of helplessness that only Krishna can save them, they cried out very feelingly and very loudly. We had wonderful 24 hours here, Tom. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his followers to do 24 hours here, Tom, every day. For 1 year. So he said, one day, he just said, we're chanting all day, but why are we wasting the night sleeping? For the next year, we should do kirtan 24 hours. How many of you were in the 24-hour kirtan and stood up all night? I'm crazy. Are you ready for another day? What about ready for another 364 days? The Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed them at that time how they will be able to do it. It's a matter of consciousness. And he gave them the verse. Humble like the grass, tolerant like the tree. Even if you offer all respect to others, they expect none in return. The grass, so much grass at New Vrindavan, at least in the summer. In the winter, the grass is under snow for 8 months, maybe 7 months. With global warming, it might be. How would you like to be under snow? And when it is summer and you get to come out and people are stepping on you with their feet. Dogs come around and you know what they do? In the old days, in New Vrindavan, even people used to do that. But the grass just keeps getting up and giving it service. more humble than a blade of grass, than a tree. In the sunshine, now with sunshine, the tree will stand in the sun directly while giving shade to us. In the wintertime, the tree will stand there freezing and give us wood to keep us warm. And the tree will give fruit, even if it has absolutely nothing itself. In India, the Prabhupada said, the king of fruits is...
mango!
The king of fruits is mango. But do you know what a tree has to go through to get a mango? What season is the mango?
Summer.
In the summer. And summer in Maharashtra is different than summer in West Virginia. It is really hot. Burning hot. April, May, and half of June. And usually, by the time that burning, 100 degree plus weather practically every day. And there has to be a drop of rain since the monsoon in September. Yeah. No rain. That mango tree has been standing here October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. It's been standing there 8 months with no water. Under the heat, and yet it's giving the most luscious, juicy, delicious mango for us to enjoy and quench our thirst. How are we forgiving others and accepting their inconvenience to serve others, to please others in the service of God? And to offer all respect and not demand respect for ourselves. If we have this consciousness, humility is actually a type of hunger. I'm nothing. I need. When you're empty, when you feel empty, then you really long to be filled. And the more you're filled with Krishna, the more you're humble. We must really sincerely cultivate. We shouldn't be complacent in our chanting. We should know for sure that old age, disease, and death are inevitable, and they can happen at any moment. Now is the time to cry out for Krishna's love.
Hare!
Srila Prabhupada and his Guru Dev, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, are telling, when we can chant like that, then we can actually follow the footsteps of the resident of Srila. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada,
Jai!
Srila Prabhupada, Jai! Srila Prabhupada, Jai! Ecstatic enthusiasm of our young generation coming from so many distant places to perform tapasya. Amazing. How many people in America do like this? They travel hundreds of thousands of miles to come. Just sit all day and all night and chant all the evening. Most of us old people went to sleep. You are our guru. That taste for the chanting, that enthusiasm for that chanting, the hunger for the chanting, the greatest of all treasures. For although the work recognize the 24-hour care Congress and thank very much. And for all the patrons that may be here, I don't know. Patron guests are here now? We'd love to visit on behalf of Vrindavan and Raja Vrindavan Chant. We all, from our heart of hearts, thank you, sincerely, for coming and participating in this weekend, and showing your support. And we pray that Vrindavan can become a place of pilgrimage like it is meant to be, Prabhupada's vision. And on behalf of the whole of Eastern North America, your efforts of coming to help is actually to strengthen Krishna Bhakti throughout this entire continent. We thank you very much. And pray. We also thank you for joining us. But most of all, we thank Maharishi Dev.
Thank you very much.